today, we are going to be looking at a book that is not very often looked at. It is the book of Ezekiel. If you are not familiar, Ezekiel is kind of a crazy book. Lots of visions, lots of really weird things happening in the book, but a really profound message is found in the passage that we will look at in just a little bit. But before we start, I want to just share with you a memory that I have when I was growing up. Every April, when I was young, my family would take a trip. We would go to this mountainous area. It was about 2 hours away from our house. We'd climb up this mountain. We'd walk around a little bit. We would stand in front of some stones. And then we'd get back into the car, and then we would go home. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. It's another Chinese holiday. We've talked about Chinese New Year, but there's also another Chinese holiday that is often observed in the month of April, and it's called the Tomb Sweeping Day, or Qingmingjie. That's when you go and you visit your ancestors that have passed. You pay your respects to them. You clean their tombs. Some people will offer incense. My family, what we did is, for a long time, we just did the traditional Chinese, like, three bows. But afterwards, when my parents started to know the Lord more, they were like, let's not do that. And instead, we would pray over our ancestors that have passed. And, you know, when I was really young, maybe, like, 7 years old, I didn't really think too much about it. It was just like, oh, this is something I do with my parents, with my family. I'll just go along. But as I got older, I remember distinctly that I would be a little creeped out. You know, cemeteries are not the ideal place to hang out as a family, right? You don't want to go somewhere where you're just surrounded by dead people. That, like, when you are trying to plan a trip with your friends, no one says, hey, let's go to the cemetery to hang out. Here in our passage, we are about to read about a prophet. And he is not only sent, or he not only has a vision of being in a cemetery, but he is in a valley that is surrounded by bones. These bones aren't even buried. They're on top of the ground. And this is where Ezekiel will find himself. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, and we'll read the first 14 verses. Starting in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back from the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is a vision that Ezekiel has. It's probably one of the more well-known ones. The other one is from chapter 1, if you've ever read the book of Ezekiel. It's in chapter 1, he sees these four living creatures. They have four faces. In chapter 8, there's another vision where Ezekiel is shown the idol worship that happens in Jerusalem. Leaders bowing down to idols, women that are crying over false gods. Ezekiel is a book that is full of visions. And this morning I want us to just think about what is our vision? What are the things that God is showing us? Here he finds himself in the middle of a bone graveyard. I don't know if you've seen the movie Lion King, but in that movie Simba and Nala, they go to this elephant graveyard and there's just bones all around. I imagine it to kind of be like that, except it's human bones. And I'm not sure how Ezekiel is feeling as he's seeing this. You know, he's in the midst and he's watched seeing all of these bones lying around him. I, for one, would probably be a little bit freaked out. Right? He's right in the midst of it. And what God wants to show him and what he wants to show us through this is that through God's word, there is life. And it is only through God's word that life comes. So we start at the beginning of the vision, and we see that it's God's hand that leads Ezekiel to this valley. It's God who's guiding Ezekiel. And he not only brings him there, but then after he gets there, he kind of just leads him back and forth among the bones. And God's trying to say to Ezekiel, take in this sight. Look at the many, many dry bones that are around you. He's saying, look at the hopelessness, look at the death, look at the finality of human life. And after Ezekiel takes all of this in, God goes and he asks him a question. He says, son of man, can these bones live? Right, just imagine yourself in the position of Ezekiel for a second. You're standing in a cemetery, let's say you're at a cemetery and you're looking at the stones all around you and you read the dates on the stones, right? Died in 1957, died 1942, died 1980. You're surrounded by these people that have died years ago, and then God asks you, can these people live? It wouldn't be unreasonable if you were thinking, no, these people have been dead for so long. But then as a believer, you're like, wait, there's all these resurrection stories. So maybe they can. But even with the resurrection stories, if you look at the resurrection accounts in the Bible, these are people that maybe passed away for just a few days. They died for just a few days before they were resurrected. It hasn't been years, after all. These people, they still have their flesh and their bones. But here, where Ezekiel is, there is no more flesh. The bodies have long decomposed. They're dry. And God asks him, in the midst of this hopelessness, can these bones live? Now, verse 11, it tells us that these dry bones, they represent the house of Israel. The house of Israel had cried out, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. They're living in exile. Many of them have lost hope. This hopelessness is equated, the dry bones, with the hope of Israel ever leaving Babylon. The Israelites have either forgotten what God promised them, or they don't believe. Because God is constantly speaking to them, and even through Ezekiel, and he's constantly saying, I will restore you. I'm going to bring you back to your land. But after living in exile for so many years, the Israelites, they have lost hope. They don't see the future restoration. They don't see what God has in store for them. All they do see is what is in front of them, that they've been living in exile, that they have been slaves for decades. They've given up. They've become hopeless. They are like the dry bones. There's no life in them. This also applies to us in our spiritual state. We can be going through periods of exile. You know, it could be that we have this sin in our lives, this particular sin that no matter what we do, we're not able to get out from under it. The sin is constantly plaguing us, and because of that, we experience exile. It could be that we feel that God is simply not close to us. It could be that we feel like we don't have a sense of purpose. It could be that we don't have this feeling of home, of belonging. We could be facing different persecutions from people. And while we're in the midst of this, we might feel things are never going to change. It's hopeless. I'm hopeless. And if you're feeling like that this morning, God is asking you a question. Can these dry bones live? Ezekiel's answer is, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. He's like, God, only you know. It's a good answer. But at the same time, Ezekiel seems to be just shifting all of the responsibility to God. He's like, God, I know that you can do anything, so it's up to you. You know, I'll just sit back and I'll watch. But as we'll see, God is not going to let him get away with that. God's not going to be like, all right, yeah, just watch me work. But he's like, Ezekiel, you are a prophet, and you are going to do your job as a prophet. So start prophesying. So God has him start prophesying. And I want us to think about us when we are going through exile, when we are kind of in these hopeless moments where we're like, things aren't going to change, and maybe someone comes along and they're trying to help us, and we just say, oh, you know, that's easy for you to believe. You know, it's like, you can keep on believing that, but we don't really try to think how we can have a part in changing. So we pray to God. We may pray that something in our lives will change, and we're being very honest about it, but then we just sit back and we don't do anything. It's as if we don't want to have a part in the work that God is doing. God is not content to just let us sit back in our hopelessness. He wants us to be a part of changing our mindset and changing our attitude. Right? I'm not sure how many of you have been involved in group projects in the past, but maybe you've been in a group project and there was that one person that would kind of say things like this. He's like, oh, you are so much better at drawing and at the arts than I am, so why don't you do it? Or they're like, your handwriting is so neat. Why don't you just write everything out? And it sounds like that person is being very humble, they're being very encouraging, but really, they're just trying to get out of doing work. So don't be like that when God asks you the question, can these bones live? When God is asking, in the midst of your hopelessness, do you think things can change? And you say, yes, God, I think that you can, but I'm not going to do anything about it. You see, when God asks you, can things change? And you say, yes, then you're expected to do something. You see, we have an advantage that Ezekiel doesn't. Ezekiel, his experience with God and his knowledge of God just comes from the few books that have been written by the time that he was alive. But we have all of his story, we have all of the stories in the New Testament, and we see all that God has done. We have Jesus, who declares that he's the resurrection and the life. You know, we don't have an excuse when we try to say, oh, I'm not sure what God can do. We are shown that God brings life, and his word brings life. We'll see how that happens as we look at verses 4 through 10. This is absolutely amazing for me as I was reading and studying this passage. If you've read through the books of the prophets, they're usually prophesying to people that are alive. They're usually prophesying to a city or to a group of people like Israel. But here, Ezekiel is called to prophesy to dry bones. It's not even like he's prophesying to like a corpse, to a dead body. He's prophesying to a skeleton that no longer has ears, a skeleton that's got no flesh. It's just a pile of bones that have actually just, they're not even connected. They're all scattered. And God tells him, speak to these bones. And that's astounding to me. He's speaking to these bones as if they can hear. And as God tells him to prophesy, he also says, I am going to be the one that does the work. You see, the power to bring dead bones to life does not lie in Ezekiel. It lies in God. God is the only one that can provide life. So God says, as you prophesy, I will make breath come into them. I will attach tendons to the bones. I will make flesh come upon them. I will put breath in them. The point is not just that these bones will eventually live, but there is a point to them coming to life found in verse 6. After God brings these bones back to life, it's with the purpose that they will know that he is God. This is the conversion experience. When you hear the word of God, it has the power to bring you from a state of being spiritually dead to a state of being spiritually alive. And once you're spiritually alive, you will know that he is God. Ezekiel has a role in this conversion experience. He's the one that's prophesying the message. So for those of us that have known this message, for those of us that believe, we are called to be a prophet. We are called to be proclaiming the word to spiritually dead people. And as we do that, we remember that it is by God's grace and power that people go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. See, God's grace can save souls without our preaching, but our preaching cannot save them without God's grace. But we are called to have a role in sharing the gospel. We're not called to be that person that says, God, you can do this so much better than I can, so I'll just let you handle it. But no, we are called to be a part of bringing life into people's lives. So God's word is powerful and it brings life. Because as Ezekiel is saying these words, the bones, they actually start to come together. These bones actually heard the word of God. That's how powerful the word of God is, that dry bones actually start responding. They start coming together, they're connected, the tendons are formed, flesh starts to cover them, muscle, skin. whole body is formed. But then we read that there's no breath in them. And without breath, there's no life. So God tells Ezekiel, he says, all right, you've prophesied to dry bones. Now I want you to prophesy to the breath. And so God calls him in verse 9 to prophesy to the breath. He says, breath, come from the four winds. Come from all over the earth. Breathe into these corpses, into these bodies, so that they may live. See, again, it's God's word that causes breath to enter into these bodies. So Ezekiel, he does that, and these bodies, they come to life. This is meant to remind us of Genesis chapter 2, when God creates Adam. God forms Adam out of the dust of the earth, and he's got his physical body, it's there. But it's not until God breathes into Adam that Adam actually starts to live. See, God's word gives us that life. And all of this vision is to show Israel and to show us that we are not without hope. Like, can you imagine bones that have been laid on the ground for years suddenly coming back to life? If God is able to do that, what is there that he cannot do? So this is a message of great hope for the people of Israel. It is a message of great hope for you and I. The Israelites, they thought their fate was sealed, their destiny was set, that they were going to remain in exile forever, that they would be slaves in Babylon. But God delivers this message and he says, no. Just as I have brought dry bones back to life, I am going to bring you back to your land. If you read with me in verses 12 to 14, God says, prophesy and say to them, Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. See, God is making them this promise, and he's saying, you need to have hope. I will surely restore you. And for us, you know, we may not always be fully aware of it, but hope is an extremely important aspect of our lives, is it not? Just think about moments when you may have felt hopeless. You know, perhaps there's some of you that have applied to jobs, or maybe you're applying to university, and you start to have these moments of doubt where you feel kind of hopeless. You're like, ah, I'm never going to get that job. I'm not going to get in. And when you start thinking that way, you lose motivation. You're less likely to really try anymore. Or perhaps one of your relationships with a friend you've kind of had a falling out. They're being super stubborn. They're refusing to change. You're trying to make things right, but eventually you just give up because you're like, they're never going to change, and you give up hope. In this passage, hopelessness is compared to death. They're the same. So when God says, and he shows that he can give life and hope, he's saying, don't be stuck in hopelessness. I am a God that is powerful enough to bring dry bones back to life, and I will surely bring you out of your state of exile. God's word is promising to you today that if you are feeling very dead, if you're feeling very hopeless, that doesn't have to be. He's saying if you turn to him, if you listen to his word, if you allow his message to sink in, you will be made alive. God will give you life, and he will restore you. This is what he's saying to you this morning. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for this message of hope that your word gives life. God, it is absolutely mind-blowing to know that you bring dry bones back to life. Bones that have been dead for many years. And God, I don't know about everyone in this room, but perhaps some of us may have felt like we've been living kind of dead, spiritually dry for many, many years. And we feel like that's the way it's going to be. But you tell us, no, that is not the way that it has to be. You are the one who can bring about change. You can bring about life. And so, God, would you remind us of that hope whenever we find ourselves in exile, when we find ourselves feeling depressed and hopeless? May you remind us that all we need to do is come to you, cling to your promises. God, you promise that you will restore us. We thank you for your message. We thank you for who you are and all that you do. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.